The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
It's Wednesday, September 9th, 2015. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. And Chet, the time has finally arrived. Football season and the return of the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable to every Wednesday night throughout the season, starting tonight.
And I'm one of those people, Bill, who when asked what my favorite season of the year is, I'm not going to say spring, summer, fall, or winter. I'm going to say football season. So, yeah, I love this time of the year, especially the anticipation of that first regular season game.
Well, tonight is going to be all Eagles. We're going to talk all Eagles all for the hour. And, of course, we'll get a mention in of the Temple Owls and their big win over Penn State and in front of a sold-out crowd at Lincoln Financial Field. And what a great effort by the Owls. But we'll get to that a little later. We're excited to have with us tonight a real Eagles expert. Not that you're not, Chet. But we're going to have Bleeding Green Nation Editor-in-Chief Brandon Lee Galton with us. We'll also have our trivia question tonight, with the question being announced just around 7:30. We have a great prize for tonight's trivia question, a signed 8x10 black and white photo of former Eagles place kicker, longtime NFL record holder for longest field goal, Tom Dempsey, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles, to the first caller that can call in and correctly answer our trivia question. We will get back to that shortly, though.
Old Tom had a good 11-year career and was able to kick some long field goals, a fan favorite in each of the five NFL cities he played, including Philly.
Absolutely. And Tom is not in the best of health these days, so I'm not sure he's going to be out doing a whole lot more signings. But as we mentioned tonight, we have a special guest making his first ever Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable appearance, Bleeding Green Nation Editor-in-Chief Brandon Galton. Brandon, welcome to the show. I think he's there.
Brandon, can you hear us? Technical difficulties.
Well, he's showing that he's here. If he can hear us, maybe he can hang up and call back, because I'm showing that he's here.
Yeah, let's try that, Brandon. Hang up and call back in. And, we'll get right
there
back to the Eagles
hung
talk.
So he hung up, so he must have been able to hear us. So we'll try to bring him back on as soon as he calls right back in.
And by the way, Swift's
going
to make
bring an awful lot to the table here. He knows the Eagles and the ins and outs as much as anybody, and I think we have him. We have him back. Brandon, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We got you now, Brandon.
We have you now. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me. Sorry about that, guys.
That's all right.
That's
your fault.
All right.
Let's get right to
it,
shall we? All right. Hey, Brandon, you bleed green like the rest of us, and, boy, it's really exciting this year, maybe the most excitement about a season since 2004 when T.O. was in town. Now, Chip Kelly has done something really bold in his first 2.5 years in town. He's gotten rid of almost all the key guys on offense in Deshaun, LeSean, Macklin, and Foles in favor of the newly drafted wide receivers, Jordan Matthews and Nelson Agholor, a new quarterback in Sam Bradford, and the three-headed running back monster, DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews, to join Darren Sproles. This is clearly Chip's team now, isn't it, Brandon?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was, I think, the big thing with him wanting control over the team's player personnel department. I think he really wanted to get his guys in here. I think he wanted the guys who were talented but not quite the best fits for his system out of here, and I think that's what you've really seen. You know, I think the biggest emphasis has been on the run game. You know, they signed DeMarco Murray, they signed Ryan Matthews, they sold Darren Sproles, and Kenyon Barter made the team as well. I really think they kind of got away from the run game last year, or at least doing it efficiently. I think that's something they absolutely want to get back to here in 2015, because that's you know, you look back to 2013 when Nick Foles has had 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, and the offense was one of the best in the league. You know, that's when the run game was doing well, and I think it really comes down to that.
Brandon, I know when you make a lot of changes, sometimes it's tough to get everybody on the same page, to get everybody playing together. But I know it's preseason, but, boy, they sure looked like they were in sync pretty quickly, the first unit on offense. Are you surprised how quickly things came together?
You know, I kind of am in a way because I think some people were concerned about that. You know, how are all these new pieces going to fit in? Is there going to be an adjustment period? You know, I think one of the advantages the Eagles have is that they do practice really hard and at a fast pace. You know, obviously all teams in the NFL practice hard, but the Eagles practice faster than anyone. I think they get more practice reps than anyone. And I think that maybe that makes a difference in just, you know, ironing out some of those mistakes and, you know, really putting in the extra work to make things smooth over. You know, I think also just because of the kind of guys the Eagles brought in, you know, Chip Kelly has put a big emphasis on this culture. And I think he wants players who work hard. And I think, you know, that kind of pays off in an area like this when, you know, there's something that needs to be smoothed over. And it is getting smoothed over because the players are really addressing it.
Brandon, back to your first comment about the running game. And, you know, I'm really concerned about the two offensive linemen that they're replacing. I'm also concerned that Jason Peters is not playing at the Pro Bowl level. Obviously, he took a step back last year with his injury. Mm-hmm. He's getting you know, a little bit older. But they brought two new guards in, and what's your take on those guys versus the guys that left talent wise?
All right, well, I'll start on Peters real quick. Yeah, I think he even admitted that he wasn't at his best last year. He's really made a big push to – I think he lost something like 20 pounds this offseason. He said he cut out ice cream. He's been riding his bike around Philadelphia. So he's even made a push to kind of get in better shape, and we'll see how that goes. But as for the guards, you know, it's obviously not the best situation when you cut a guy like Evan Mathis, who has been, you know, a top talent at the guard, and you replace him with, you know, Alan Barbary, who really isn't much of a proven player, a guy they like a lot for sure. But, you know, not much of a proven starter, kind of just a journeyman veteran guy. And then at right guard, they had an open competition. You know, there wasn't even a clear starter there. And Andrew Gardner won out, and he recently got a contract extension for performing well. And for what it's worth, you know, you look at Pro Football Focus and sites like that, and both of these players kind of grayed out okay on those sites. So, you know, maybe there's some evidence these guys, you know, can handle the position. And another thing is I just don't think guard is one of the most important positions on offense. I think, you know, it's probably ranks towards the bottom down there.
Yeah. Sticking with offense, Brandon, let's talk about the wide receivers. You have Jordan Matthews coming off a pretty decent rookie season, now looking real good in his second season, and a rookie, Nelson Agholor. What's your outlook for the wideouts, and will Riley Cooper continue to be a factor?
You know, it's interesting because they have an interesting mix of wide receivers there. I mean, you brought up Jordan Matthews, and he's obviously a stud. I mean, he's looked good this summer in training camp, preseason. Just, you know, he catches everything thrown his way. He gets open. You know, he's going to be the number one target here in this offense. So outside of him, though, you kind of have a lot of question marks. You know, you have a guy like Nelson Agholor who definitely flashed first-round talent. You know, there's no question this guy is talented. He's dealt with some rookie issues. Mostly concentration drops, things like that. You know, it's clear he's not ready to be, I think, like a full-time player out of the gate just because he has some of those things to work on. But then you have a guy like Josh Huff, who had a disappointing rookie year, and now he's back in his second year, and you figure he might be poised to take a step up, but he's kind of had a quiet summer, not necessarily completely his fault because he sat out a preseason game to the death because there was a death in his family. And now, you ask about Riley Cooper, and that's interesting because, you know, he's obviously struggled in a big way last season. So you would think the team wouldn't like to get him on the field as much, but he's still here. You know, they gave him that big contract last year, so you figure he's going to have some kind of role in this offense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brandon, let's stay to the offense again, and let's talk about DeMarco Murray. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of history out there on guys with 400-plus touches. I believe there's 6 that have ever done it. and none of them have done well the next year or the year after that. And, you know, what I mean, Murray looks like a physically fit, you know, madman, but, you know, that's a lot of car wrecks to be in one season, and players just don't bounce back. What do you think about that?
It is a big concern, and I think it would be even more concerning if the Eagles didn't have a running back behind him like Ryan Matthews to be able to split the carries with, and then even Darren Sproles to mix in, and like I said earlier, even maybe Kenyon Barner at some point. I think if you were relying on Murray as the sole guy, I think that would be a huge concern because, as you mentioned, you know, you just don't see these guys go through huge workloads like that. And Dallas really just drove him into the ground last season. And you can even see, if you look at the numbers from later in the season, you know, his numbers started to go down. You could see the decline was already happening. But the thing, like I said, is I think the Eagles are hoping between their sports science program and the fact that they're not going to necessarily be using him as a guy, you know, the way Dallas was, I think they feel like they can mitigate that. Now, will it work? You know, the early returns have kind of been mixed because, you know, Murray missed some time in training camp with some kind of issue. It wasn't really clear what was keeping him out, but he missed a couple weeks there. But he appears to be ready now, and, you know, I think there's ample reason to believe he can have success in this offense.
Yeah, my real concern, and I try to stay out of the money side of it and not even look at it. I look at who they bring in, and hopefully they bring in good players and all that. But, you know, my concern with Murray is that they are paying him to be a top-notch number one back, and I agree with you. I don't think he's going to be able to carry the load, but they're paying him to carry the load. So long-term, that worries me a bit too.
Yeah, it's a weird signing in terms of money because a lot of people thought, you know, the Eagles weren't really going to overspend on a running back. Maybe felt like, you know, Chip could get more out of a lesser running back. I think just the perception around the league, I mean, you obviously look at what the Cowboys are doing, and they feel like they don't even really need much of a proven running back at all. You know, they have a kind of running back by committee down there, and, you know, we'll see how that works for them. But I think really Chip just cared so much about getting this run game back on track that he was willing to overspend at that position because I think it's so important to the offense. I think, you know, I talked about earlier how the Eagles had so much success in 2013 because of that run game. Just look at the Cowboys last year, you know, the success they had in the run game, you know, it really hid their defense. It opened up the passing game for Tony Romo. It took pressure off Tony Romo. He didn't have to pass as much. I think that's what the Eagles are really getting or hoping to get back to in 2015.
Let's turn our attention now to the defense, Brandon. Now, the front seven, one of the best in football, maybe. Not a lot of depth at outside linebacker, but still a pretty good crew there. And, you know, the front guys, solid. My concern still is the secondary. I know it's improved with Maxwell and some of the other guys they got in there, but Eric Rowe's still not ready. They traded Boykin. I'm worried about the secondary, you know, just playing together and working everything out. What's your take of the safeties and cornerbacks?
Well, I think you look at with what you're getting back in Malcolm Jenkins, you know, I think he's a solid starter still there. Next to him, you have Walter Thurman, who really had a good summer, I mean, and spring too. I mean, watching this guy in practice, and even in preseason, he just makes plays. I mean, I think there's some questions about maybe his tackling ability, and we'll see how that plays out. But there's no question this guy can cover, and he makes plays on the ball. So I think, you know, it's kind of been a blessing in disguise, or it's just been a surprising move, really, that they signed Thurman, presumably, to be a nickel cornerback, or at least some kind of cornerback. They moved him to safety, really, because they didn't have anyone else, and it's kind of worked out for them. I think the safeties are going to be okay, but you shift down to the cornerbacks, and Byron Maxwell looks like he's the real deal. I mean, you can question if the Eagles overpaid for him, but I think there's no question that they needed a cornerback really badly and that he is very talented, even though he's not going to be in that Seattle defense. That seems to be a concern for some people, but I really don't buy into that a whole ton because when you think about it, and Maxwell was really almost at a disadvantage by playing in that Seattle defense because teams aren't going to throw Richard Sherman, they're going to throw at Byron Maxwell. So you look at him, and I think he's legit. It really comes down to what you said in that, you know, the number two cornerback position seems to be occupied by Nolan Carroll right now. And I think that's a guy who has experience in the league, and he might be a solid starter. But you might have to even move him on the inside when it comes to nickel, because you don't have a really a proven option there after trading Boykin. And that means if you're moving Carroll to nickel, yeah, you're bro on the outside. And he's a guy who played safety, mostly safety in college, and he's recently moved to the cornerback position. And he kind of looked rough at times in the preseason. You know, he got burnt a couple times against the Packers and even against the Jets backups, which is concerning. So it's definitely still a concern, yeah, especially at the cornerback position.
Hey, getting back to the outside linebackers, there is some concern there about a lack of depth, especially when you're talking about a guy named Marcus Smith, who didn't mm-hmm. do a darn thing last year. He got hurt in the preseason, even though he was starting to show some signs of, you know, maybe being a contributor. Mm-hmm. What is your take on Marcus Smith? Will he play much? Will he contribute? And my partner and I tend to disagree on another guy, Brandon Graham. So I like Brandon Graham. Bill, not so sure. So what's your take on Marcus Smith and Brandon Graham?
Well, Marcus Smith, I think he was set up to be in a weird position last year, because you look at what the Eagles did 2013, they really only used three outside linebackers. That was Trent Cole and Connor Barwin as the starters, and they had Brandon Graham rotate in off the bench. Now, that's 2013. Now, you look at 2014, those same exact players were back. It was Trent Cole, Brandon Graham, and Connor Barwin again. So there really wasn't playing or opportunity for a fourth outside linebacker to mix in there, at least going based on what they did in 2013. So it was kind of a weird pick from that. If you just look at that, you know, there never really was a huge opportunity for him to get much playing time, unless you argue he should have beaten out Brandon Graham. You know, it's kind of a tough argument. But you obviously do want to see more out of a first-round pick there. You know, it's weird that you would take a guy like that in the first round and have him not even play that much as a rookie, especially even just, you know, you want to see some life out of him on special teams, and he couldn't even really do that. I think, you know, going into year two, it's kind of been a shame for him that he has gotten hurt here late in the preseason and wasn't able to play the last couple of games. He only played in that first game. So you kind of really don't know what to expect out of him. I think, you know, he's in the mix there at that third outside linebacker spot. I think he will rotate in, because I don't think they want Graham on the field all the time, because he has some limitations in coverage. And even Connor Barwin, you know, I think they kind of want to rotate him out so he stays fresh. So using that to train to switch over to Brandon Graham, you know, I'm a Brandon Graham believer. I think this is a guy who, you know, he's really powerful, and he doesn't have maybe the biggest size, but I think he's a guy, a power speed guy. You know, I think he's been productive rushing the passer in limited snaps. I believe in Brandon Graham. I much to the dismay possibly of one of you.
There you go, Bill. You heard it from a football expert.
We will have to disagree on that one, because I don't disagree with you as him being a power rusher. But I don't like him in an outside linebacker position. And, you know, just as Chip always says, it's all about the matchups. And what game was it? Was it the last game or the one before that where he matched up, who was it, on a linebacker and into the end zone and had no – and the linebacker had no chance. And that's what I see happening. And I just worry about that. Darren Sproles. Where he caught a little touchdown pass over a linebacker
right.
that he had beat by 5 yards. And, you know, that's my worry with Graham. It's as far as being an occasional situational pass rusher, he's probably fine. I just don't see him as a full-time outside linebacker. But let's slide to the inside right quick. And I have to ask you, did Chip Kelly dupe the media, or did the media dupe the fans, or did nobody really know whether we were really thinking we wanted to trade Michael Kendricks because we had Ryans and Alonzo, and Ryans is not ready to go. You can tell that he is injured a little bit. Alonzo's all banged up, and Michael Kendricks actually looked pretty slow in the game that he played, I thought. So how did this all turn out with Michael Kendricks ending up with a long-term contract in this deal?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird situation when you look back earlier in the offseason. I mean, they traded for Kiko Alonzo. To give D'Amico Ryans a contract extension. At that point, everyone's thinking, you know, Kendricks is gone, and there are trade rumors involving Kendricks. You know, I don't think those trade rumors were necessarily totally fiction. I think this could have been a situation where, you know, the Eagles, maybe they felt better about D'Amico Ryans at one point than they did later on. And, you know, they realized Ryan wasn't progressing to the point where they liked, and they figured that, you know, Ryan's can't be a long-term option here really anymore, and they're going to need a guy. And, you know, maybe they revisited Kendricks and said, you know, look, you know, this is a guy that, you know, maybe he's not the ideal, but we think he can be here ultimately because we need a long-term guy. So I think there's kind of there was a fluid situation there. I don't really think it's as simple as, like, you know, the reporters got it wrong or something like that. I think it was a really weird situation. But you have to be really excited about this inside linebacker duo for years to come because, I mean, Keegan Alonso is a huge playmaker if he can get healthy. And Michael Kendricks, same thing. I think Kendricks is easily one of the best pass rushing inside linebackers in the league. I think that's really a unique skill set that he brings to the table. It's going to be interesting to see how these guys play because, you know, you talked about that front seven earlier, arguably one of the best in the league. And that was last year, you know, when they didn't have Kiko Alonso. I think you bring him into the mix, and I think the sky's the limit for this defense.
I hope you're right. Hey, Brandon, we're going to get your predictions, I hope, in just a couple of minutes. But first, just a couple of quick comments about Bleeding Green Nation. Great website, some terrific writing. How did Bleeding Green Nation come to be? And were you there right from the start?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But no, I was not. I think it formed in about 2006 or 2006, 2007, 2005, one of those years. Jason Brewer was the original editor. He was there until about 2013. Jimmy Kemsky, who now writes for Philly Voice, he took it over for a brief period. He was one of the contributing writers to the site for a long time. But then it was passed over to me about just a month or so after Jimmy Kemsky took over. So I've had it since September 2013, so it's been about 2 years now.
All right. Yeah, you do a great job, and I check it all
Thanks.
The time, so lots of good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, we have season opener Monday night. Eagles in Atlanta, 7-10, first game of the Monday night season opening doubleheader. Let's get your prediction. What do you expect Monday night from the Birds?
You know, this is a Falcons team that just doesn't really impress me on paper. I mean, their defense was one of the worst in the league last year. You know, I know they made some additions with the, you know, hire of Dan Quinn and drafting Vic Beasley. And I think Trufant is a good player for them at cornerback, but you know, outside of that, I'm not really impressed at all, especially because, you know, their pass rush just didn't do much at all. I think their leading pass rusher was Corey Bierman, who's more ideally of a backup for them, and he had 4.5 sacks last year. I don't think they're going to be able to generate a whole lot of pressure on this Eagles offense. I think they're going to try to stack the box against this run game, and I think Sam Bradford's going to be able to take advantage of that. And then on defense, you know, you look at this Falcons offensive line, and it is not looking good if they're really making some desperate moves here. I mean, they traded a draft pick for Andy Levitre from the Titans, who really struggled in Tennessee and had been benched, basically. They brought in Chris Chester, who was starting for Washington, and, you know, a veteran guy who just hasn't looked that great. And apparently they were working out Jake Long this week, so a guy has been injured, the former top pick. So you see they're desperate like that, and I really don't know how you could, you know, say the Falcons have a great chance in this one. Now, of course, I'm going to be wrong about that, and everyone's going to get mad at me, but I think this is one the Eagles should win comfortably. I think this is like a 34-20 game.
Well, I'm saying 37-20, so I'm right with you.
We'll see. Brandon, I guess my only real question on that is, you know, is Julio Jones. You know, Roddy White, it looks like he's questionable at least, and I have Leonard Hankerson that backs him up, and they have Devin Hester, who's a little old. But, you know, these DBs have to be able to cover these guys. That's my biggest concern. But otherwise, I'm with you. I think the Eagles should roll these guys.
Yeah, I agree. And again, when you look at Jones, I think, you know, they're going to try to get Maxwell lined up against him, and I think that'll help with that. I think Maxwell has the ability to contain him. But even beyond that, I think, you know, what really mitigates some of Jones' effectiveness in this game will be the fact that Matt Ryan does not have great protection up front, and I think that's going to be an issue considering how good the Eagles were at getting a pass rush last year.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, Brandon, we do a segment with our special guests at the end of each show, and Chet does it, and we call it the 10 and 5. Basically, he asks 10 easy questions, and you get 5 minutes to answer them. You up for that?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's do it. 10 and 5 with Brandon Gatton. Keep the answers brief, you know, one or two words, a sentence, two sentences, and then on to the next one. So here we go. Brandon, his health is a huge key to the Eagles' prospects this season. So how many games will Sam Bradford start this year?
15, because there's a bye week in the last week, and he sits out that one.
Okay, I hope you're right. Who's going to have more catches this season, Riley Cooper or Josh Huff?
Josh Huff.
I agree. Now, give me the workload breakdown in terms of percentage of carries for DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews, and Darren Sproles, and make sure your three numbers add up to 100 or I'm going to have to flunk you.
Oh, it's going to be tough. I'm thinking it's somewhere around, I think it's like 65 DeMarco, so then you're looking at, I guess, about 25 for Ryan Matthews, and I guess that leaves about 10 for Sproles there.
Yep. I'm saying 65, 30, and 5, so we're pretty close.
Okay.
Hey, your article Sunday morning mentioned 10 quarterbacks the Eagles might consider a day after cutting Tim Tebow. Stephen Morris wasn't on that list. Were you as surprised as the rest of us that he was the guy the Birds added to the roster?
Kind of was, just because, you know, the Eagles are not necessarily looking for the best option from the Jaguars, the players the Jaguars are cutting. But, you know, I think he's young, makes sense as a developmental quarterback, only 23. You could do worse at third-string quarterback.
All right. Now, last year, the Eagles' defense gave up 72 plays of 20 yards or more. How many such plays will they allow this season?
55.
I'm sorry. The correct answer is going to be 36, so exactly half of the last year. Number six. We're talking about the practice squad. Yeah, the practice squad, not the 53-man roster, I know, but the practice squad. Still, why the heck isn't Rashid Bailey on the practice squad?
You know, I think, you know, this is a guy who's a Division III prospect, and I think there's just possibly finer aspects to the game that he hasn't mastered yet. You know, maybe this is a guy that comes back in the future, kind of like the Eagles did with Asani Moma in seasons past.
Hey, you cover the 76ers, too. Will Joel Embiid ever play a game with the Sixers?
Oh, this is a heartbreaker. I have to say yes. I can't say no. It's too depressing to say no.
Boy, I hope you're right. How many wins for the Sixers in the upcoming season?
I think you're looking at, like, I think I could see 26.
Okay, I'll take that. That was 7 and 7A. Let's go to number 8. And now, we talked about it during the show a little bit, the outlook for the season, but I didn't get a formal prediction from you. So what is your prediction? And this is assuming reasonably good health from everyone. What is your prediction for the Eagles' 2015 regular season record and, we hope, playoffs?
Like you said, I think I'm looking at 11-5, but I think that last loss could be in the last week of the season where it kind of just doesn't matter and the Eagles are resting up for a bye, possibly. So I'm going 11-5, and as for the playoffs, I'll say they make the NFC Championship game. I'll say they don't win it, but I will say they make the NFC Championship game.
Okay. Number 9, has anyone seen or heard from Howie Roseman since last February?
You know, I saw him at Eagles practice at training camp this year. It's kind of weird because he hasn't been out a lot, but I did see him there. So they did move his office to the other side of the building, but he's still around.
Yeah, what a difference 8 months makes for him. And finally, number 10, your favorite football-related movie, Brandon?
Oh, football-related movie. It has to be Remember the Titans.
Yeah, that's probably mine, too. I like that one a lot. Good one. All right, Brandon Gatton, thank you for playing 10 in 5.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Brandon. Hey, before we let you go, because we've taken up all of our time with you, why don't you give the listeners where they can find your site and, anything they can about reading up on you.
Absolutely. And thanks for having me, guys. You can can read me at bleedinggreennation.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon Gatton. That's BrandonGowton. You can check out Bleeding Green Nation's podcast. That's BGN Radio. We post that usually twice a week or so. And I think that's about it.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brandon. Right. Great job.
Brandon, we appreciate you joining us and hope we can do it again sometime during the season.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right.
All right. Thank you. All right, Chet. Boy, what a load of great information that was. And we have some debate set up for the second half hour. It's all sitting there for us.
We're going to do our prediction.
If you're up to that. But, hey, as I mentioned earlier, we have a great prize for tonight's trivia question. A signed 8x10 black and white photo of former Eagles place kicker and longtime NFL record holder for longest field goal, Tom Dempsey. Courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collector, the first caller can call in and correctly answer the trivia question. And, Chet, you know, Dempsey held that record for 43 years before Matt Prater broke it in 2003. And I found out as I was researching this, three others tied it along the way, including David Akers, who is the only one that didn't tie it or break it at Mile High Stadium. Isn't that a surprise?
Yeah, that is interesting that he wasn't aided by that different atmosphere, altitude level.
That's right. All right. Okay, well, our shopforkisses.org phone line to answer the trivia question is 929-477-2855. Anyone else that wants to join in, give us a call with an opinion. If you're not answering a trivia question or after it gets answered, feel free to do so at the same number. 929-477-2855. Here's the trivia question, listeners, and Chet, see if you've got the answer. On today's 53-man Eagles roster, there are six players with 10 or more years of experience. The leader has 13 years. Can you name him? Okay, we'll do that right quick again. On today's 53-man Eagles roster, there are six players with 10 or more years of NFL experience. The leader has 13 years. Can you name him? Phone number again, 929-477-2855. Chet, let's take a break and catch our breath and thank our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. All right, Chet, we covered a bunch of ground with Brandon, and we'll dig in that a little bit deeper, but I think we have a caller already. I don't know if this is to talk Eagles or talk trivia, because that'd be pretty cool. I already answered a trivia question.
Who do we have?
Let's see. Hello, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, guys, it's Swit here.
Hello,
hey,
Swit. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it. Get your Eagles guest. I really enjoyed listening to him. He really knew his stuff, and look forward to the season coming up. It should be a good one.
Yeah, Brandon's
right.
got a lot of good insight.
Do you have an answer to our trivia question, Swit?
No. I'm not really a trivia buff. You know, I've had some other things going on today, so I just called in. I just caught the tail end of it, though.
Hey, Swit, speaking of things going on, I know you're involved with something new, getting some guys some gigs, signing autographs and whatnot, and you have one this weekend. So who do you have and what's going on this Saturday?
Yeah, thanks, Chet. I appreciate you having me on and be able to give it a plug here. Just to give you guys a little bit of background, and we both talked about it previously, about a year and a half ago, started working with about seven former professional athletes, and after a year and a half, finally got my first event. It's going to be this Saturday, September 12th, and it'll be at Bucksmont Indoor Sports Center. It's in Hatfield, Pennsylvania, right off Route 309 in Hatfield. And we're going to have, as part of a three-man signing, two of my guys will be out there, Sean Landetta, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Giants, and, of course, and the Eagles punter. Landetta will be out there from 2 to 3, and followed by Bobby Shantz, 1952 MVP, 8-time Gold Glove winner with the Phillies. He'll be out there from 3 to 4. This will be a rare appearance to see Bobby. He just turned 90 years old, in great shape, played golf with him over the summer. He's just an incredible guy, a great storyteller, and it should be a really great event. It's going to be actually the other signer is Greg the Bull Lisinski. The Bull will be starting the signing from 11 to 12 o'clock. And get this, guys, you don't hear this too often, free autographs from all three guys. Now, they are limiting it to one per person. Now, if there's extra time, you might be able to get back in line and get another one. But one free one from all three of the guys. And it's going to be part of a 100-table sports memorabilia show. Tables are still available at $30 each. And for more information, they can call the promoter, Joe Reed. And Joe can be reached at 215-996-1740. It should be a really great event. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Best of luck with that, Swit. And, hey, while we have you on the phone, you know, you and I often over the years have talked about the Eagles, and I sometimes give you a hard time because you're not really a true Eagles fan. You grew up, I guess, rooting for the Steelers, if I remember. But you're always, like, overly optimistic as far as how the Eagles are going to do, and you're not disappointing me this year. I think you're telling me the sky's the limit for this Birds team. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely, and I saw one of my posts caused an uproar on Facebook about a week ago. I got some colorful feedback from some of your guys, not to name any names, but
yes, you did.
You know, I am really trying to look at this from an even standpoint, an even level, I should say. And now, of course, you can't tell much from the preseason. I mean, it's at a small sample size, but the running game is going to be amazing. And everybody talks about keeping Bradford healthy. To me, Bradford or Sanchez, I think this is going to be pretty much the same team no matter who's in there, even if Bradford, you know, goes down. And certainly nobody's looking for that. I mean, if you're looking for a prediction, I did a quick look over the schedule before we came on. They have seven games before they go to the bye week. I see them – now, hold on to your hat, guys. I see them going 6-1 in the first seven games. I see them going 13-3 in the regular season. And one of the two last games, one's Washington, one's the Giants. I think that's kind of going to be a throwaway game there at the end.
Wow.
Now, you know, to back up, you know, that record, like I said, the running game, yes, I mean, the running game's going to be amazing. That's the best word I could come up with. The wide receivers, you know, I think this is a plug-and-play offense with the wide receivers. I don't think they're going to miss Macklin that much. I've been really impressed by Aguilar in the preseason, especially the opener. Riley Cooper will be Riley Cooper, you know, and, you know, we'll see what they get out of Josh Huff. But I just don't know how this offense is going to be stopped. And even with an average at best defense, I see 13 wins.
All right. Let's keep it at that.
At the very least.
I don't want to hear any Super Bowl talk yet, so let's just keep it at 13-3. We'll talk about the other stuff later on.
Absolutely.
Thanks for
Fair
calling
enough.
In, buddy, and good luck with everything Saturday.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Sweet.
Take care.
All right, Chet, we have another caller. Let's see if we have an answer to our trivia question. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
It's Jerry from CP.
Who's this?
It's Jerry from Connecticut. How you doing?
Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
Pretty good. I'm glad
you have an answer to the trivia question, or you just want to talk some Eagles?
No, I got the answer to the trivia question. I just heard an interview with him on the radio the other day.
Okay.
I would guess the magician or long snapper, John Dornbos.
That is correct. That is correct, John Dornbos. I thought that might trick people a little bit with Jason Peters. I thought a lot of people might think Jason Peters, but you're right. It is John Dornbos.
Yeah, he was one of the – I just saw an interview about him, and that came up today.
Yeah, and a great guy, by the way. What a great guy.
Yeah, he is.
Yes, he is.
Guy.
Yes, he is. Well, Jerry, give us your quick take. It's game week. What do you think – how are you liking the Eagles?
Oh, I love them over Atlanta. I really do. I'm thinking about 12 wins this year. That's what I'm looking at
well,
in regular
man.
Season.
A lot of optimism.
I got a two-game improvement over last year.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, Jerry, and we'll either send that photo up to you or we'll let you pick it up down at Carl's, whatever works for you.
You got it. Thank you. Good job, guys.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right. All right,
love,
Jerry.
Love
thanks. Appreciate it. Well, Chet, hey, now that we've got that out of the way and another great winner, Jerry is on top of it. Good answer. But, hey, let's talk a little bit about this defense and all this 12-13 win nonsense. I got a problem, first of all, with your statement that they may have one of the top front sevens in the league. You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm dead serious, man. Look, you can't run against this team. And I think they are better than last year. I mean, assuming Kiko Alonso is the real deal. I know you're not a Brandon Graham fan, but he is going to be improved this year now that he knows he's got a role. Vinny Curry is a machine out there. Vinny Curry may have, 13 or 14 sacks this year. I like the front seven a lot. And the inside linebackers, assuming they stay healthy, are top-notch. The outside linebackers, the starters, I think are going to be fine. There is that question of depth, but come on, man. That's a good front seven. Fletcher Cox is a stud in the middle. Give him a break, Bill.
You said assuming they stay healthy, they're not healthy. They're not healthy now. How are they going to stay healthy?
Look, that's going to be an issue for any team and a concern for any team, staying healthy. And I know they are damaged goods to an extent, especially, Ryan's and Alonzo. But I think they'll be fine. The guys up on the front line, the D-line, they've been healthy most of the time, so they've been fortunate there. Hopefully that'll continue. I'm not worried about the front seven at all. I'm more worried about the secondary, as I said earlier, but I'm fine with the front seven, and you're going to see that teams are not going to be able to run against these guys.
Well, I'm going to agree with you on the front line, the front three, even the front six. Mm-hmm. With their backups. I like them all. I think they're really good. I like Barwin a lot. I don't like Brandon Graham at all. I don't like the fact that these guys are banged up in the middle before the season even starts. I don't like that the depth on that outside linebacker position of Marcus Smith and Brian Breaman, there is no depth there. Brandon mentioned, if Brandon Graham is going to be somewhat of a situational player, is Marcus Smith really going to be that guy? You got to be kidding me.
All right.
No,
like
no
I
way.
Said, there is a concern
don't,
about
don't
depth. There is a concern
Absolutely.
About depth on the outside linebacking crew, but they'll be all right. Don't worry.
All right. Well, let's talk DBs because I got some interesting tidbits for you. And I'll go with Brandon's eye test for Walter Thurman. But let me tell you something, Chet. Walter Thurman has been in the National Football League for 5 years, and he has started 9 games.
Yeah, and lot of that is keeping him healthy. That's a big problem. That's his bugaboo all the time. He just can't stay on the field. So, yeah, I'm a little worried about that. I'm worried a lot about the secondary. I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah, well, in 2011 he started 6 games, in 2012 2 games, in 2014 2 games. It's just he's playing out of position. He's going to be a safety instead of a corner.
He looks like he's learning the position. He's learning it pretty well though, and he's got Malcolm Jenkins there to help him. So give it a shot. I'm not drinking
the
chip Kool-Aid,
but we have to give it a shot because this is what we have to deal with, but I'm not thinking. There are some pretty good wide receivers in the NFC East, and we're going to face them all twice. And we also have to play some other teams that have some pretty awful good receivers. And, putting all this on Byron Maxwell, and I hope he's as good as advertised. And we're going to find out if he's a lockdown corner, because he better be. Because if he's got to depend on the people around him, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like Nolan Carroll out there. He's a career backup. Eric Rowe's a rookie. I just don't see this defense overall being any better today other than Byron Maxwell than they were last year.
I'm worried about the secondary. And as you said, they go against a lot of top-notch wide receivers, including the three other teams in the NFC East. They all have one or two guys who could be all pros. And then you got Calvin Johnson on Detroit. You got Julio Jones week one down in Atlanta. So Brandon Marshall with the Jets even. It's going to be a real test for these guys. So we're going to find out what they're made of for sure.
Well, you even have Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans in Tampa. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if anybody can, you know, if Jameis Winston can throw them guys the football or not, but they're two quality receivers. You know, they're going to see tough guys all year long. And if they get in situations where they can't pressure the quarterback or whatever happens, and these guys are out there with the game on the line, I just don't see this defensive backfield, other than Maxwell, being a whole lot better than what they had before.
Well, this is a real test for, A, Bill Davis, the defensive coordinator, for the new guy who's coaching the secondary, who everybody's very high on, and finally, of course, for the players themselves. They will be tested, so they're going to have to step up to the plate and do the job. And if they don't, Billy Davis is going to have to make adjustments, make some changes in personnel. Last year, he was hesitant to do that with the Bradley Fletchers and the other guys. He's got to admit when he's wrong, and if a guy is not getting the job done in week four or week five, he's got to sit him and put somebody else in there.
Well, but then it comes right back to the same thing. I mean, your depth is Eric Rowe, Chris Maragos, E.J. Biggers. I mean,
yeah.
Those guys aren't ready. They're not starters in the National Football League. What are you going to do in your nickel package? You're going to bring Rowe in. If you have to go to a dime package, who are you bringing in then, Maragos or Biggers? You know, those guys, I just don't like it. I mean, we'll see.
The secondary is my key concern, You know, when we talk about what can go wrong for the Eagles this season, it is the secondary not being as good as we all hope they're going to be. So that is the big worry.
Well, let's talk offense. Because actually Brandon and I almost agree across the board, although I don't agree with the fact that guards are the least important position on the field. On the offense, I don't agree with that. But, you know, he said pretty much the same thing I've been saying all along. I think the wide receiver situation is a little suspect. The running backs, Murray, is a little suspect. Now, we didn't talk a lot about Bradford. You know, I mean, he's going to have to be the man.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, all in all, I'm impressed with what this offense can do. Swit alluded to it. They're going to be really tough to stop. Now, a lot of it, of course, depends on everybody staying relatively healthy, but that's the case with a lot of teams. That being said, the O-line, which was a big concern for me, is better than I thought it was going to be. The new starting guards, Andrew Gardner and Alan Barbre, seem to be coming along nicely. I know it's preseason what we've seen, but they've done all right. The other guys, Peters, Kelsey, and Johnson, are fine. Bradford, the new quarterback, he played, what, five series in the preseason, led five touchdown drives, so you don't get any better than that. He looked tremendous. Please stay healthy, Sam. The receivers are young, but I think they look like they're going to be here a long time. I'm talking about Jordan Matthews and Nelson Agholor. The tight ends, Zach Ertz, boy, if he's healthy, and I hope he is by week two anyway, Brent Celek still, and even Trey Burton when he's in, I think are going to be fine. And I really expect a lot from the three-prong running attack of Murray, Sproles, and Ryan Matthews. That's going to be fun to watch. So I think this offense is going to score over 30 points a game without a problem.
I think you've been drinking the Kool-Aid, my friend.
No, just wine. Some wine.
Everything you're talking about is on paper. This is all good.
That's all
this
we have at this point.
On paper.
That
but
and a few preseason games, that's all.
Now, you know, we talked about this the very first week when they played the Ravens, and the Ravens had no effort and no game plan. You know, you don't game plan in the preseason when you're trying to get 90 guys ready to play. You know, what happens when they start blitzing, and how do these guys react to that? That's when you find out if these guards can play. So can they block one-on-one? Probably. They wouldn't be there if they couldn't. But can they read blitzes? Can they make the adjustments and do the right things? We saw just a couple years ago when Lane Johnson came into the league and he struggled, and Todd Harriman's helped him develop. Well, it took time, and Lane Johnson the first year was, you know, we'll call him average, and now he's developed into a pretty good football player. But, you know, these guards having two holes there, two guys that have to develop, is going to be a challenge for this football team.
Yes, it is. All right, partner. Look, we're running behind schedule now, and we've got to get some predictions in. I want your prediction for the Atlanta game and then for the season.
Well, I'm gonna say they beat Atlanta because I don't think they're very good. I am excited to see the Julio Jones deal and see how he does in this game. But I'm going to go Eagles 35, Falcons, 17.
Okay, I'm pretty close with that. I have the Eagles winning 37-20. They're going to have 5 touchdowns. Cody Parkey's going to miss an extra point, by the way, and I'm still worried about his health, that groin problem, but he will kick a field goal. Eagles win 37-20.
Okay. All right, are you ready for your pick, your season prediction? Let's go. Put it up there.
I am ready, and I actually agree with what Brandon Gowton said, 11-5. And we'll get to the conference championship game. I don't know if they're going to win it or lose it, but they will get to the conference championship game. They're going to win the division with an 11-5 record.
Okay. We'll see.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it, Bill.
I am going to say 10-6 with a possibility of going 9-7. They're one injury away in any number of positions, not including the quarterback, to go to 9-7. I still think if they can finish 10-6, they'll win the East. I don't see them advancing to the championship game, though.
Okay. I think the Cowboys are taking a step back, so the Eagles will win the division. Cowboys will probably be about 9-7. Eagles win the division, and I have them in the NFC championship.
Well, I'm not sure how the Cowboys took a step back, other than they don't have a running back. They're running back by committee. But otherwise, they're all the same team. Anyway, 2 keys to the season, though, Chad, I'll throw out to you. Turnover ratio, which has to be better than last year when they turned the ball over a zillion times, and sacks. They have to keep Bradford clean and have to keep him up off the ground.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. And the other thing for me is the defensive secondary stopping the big play. I mean, the defense in general, but as we talked with Brandon, 72 plays of 20 or more yards last year, that can't happen. So they got to work on that. They got to prevent the big play. They got to get off the field on third down, too.
Absolutely. Hey, let's good stuff. Good stuff, by the way. Hey, let's get our couple announcements in we have tonight. First, our deadline for our Philly Press Box 2015 Pick'em Pool is pretty much now. Games are tomorrow. We can still sign some people up, but last I checked, we had 41 people signed up, expecting a few more. Cost is $10 for the entire season, the grand prize being the Philly Press Box Trophy to be displayed by you for bragging rights. You won't have to worry about it, Chet, because you're not going to win it. A full-size Eagles brand Dawkins Weapon X autograph helmet, courtesy of Carl's Cards. And, of course, the leader, after each week, will have the opportunity to come on this show and talk some smack, make some noise, or just be humble about leading the pack. So that'll be a lot of fun getting some different people on here each week to talk about that. Well, it'll probably be me, so I'll just talk about it, Chet. How's that?
Yeah.
All right. If any listeners want to sign up, they can do that through Facebook postings or email me at PhillyPressBoxBill@gmail.com, and I'll send you the necessary information. Have to do it quick, though. And Chet, I know you're going to be surprised about this, but Danny Bevins has already started trash-talking.
Danny's good at winning trivia contests, but I'm not so sure he knows how to pick NFL games. We'll find out, Danny.
Yes, we will, starting tomorrow. Hey, let's update the upcoming signings list to Carl's Cards and Collectibles as well, Chet. This 20th anniversary continues to roll on. And as you know, Carl had a private signing with former Flyers goaltender and present GM Ron Hextall a week or so ago. And, man, what a great response he had for that rare signing. Carl, who's got some really neat stuff signed, it's available at the store if anybody's still interested in that. Next up will be for the Hall of Fame collectors. Boston Bruins goaltender Jerry Cheevers will be in the store on September 12th, followed on September 19th when the Broad Street Bullies and two-time Stanley Cup champions Dave the Hammer Schultz, Don Selesky, Oris Kinderchuk, Jim Chesko, and Bill Furman will be in the store. We'll just be fans, though.
Yes.
A special note, the Brandon Graham signing for Monday, October the 5th, has been canceled. And lastly,
I blame you for that.
Well, you should, because I didn't say anything bad. Nah, that's not on me.
All right.
And lastly, Customer Appreciation Day, Saturday, October the 10th, with a couple more bullies, Gary Dornhofer and Larry Goodenough, and a new addition to the lineup, as Swit mentioned a little bit earlier, former Philadelphia A's and Phillies pitcher Bobby Shantz will be in the store. You can get more information on the website at carlscards.com or on Twitter at carlscards or by calling his store, 610-789-4996. And, Chad,
and
I really had nothing
know it.
To do with Brandon Graham.
Okay. Carl doesn't know it yet, by the way, but he's going to be on with us again next week to talk about all of those late September and early October signings. I know you're listening, Carl, so mark your calendar. You're going to be on here for a few minutes next week.
There you go. Well, Chet, how about a parting shot as we open the season?
I'm going to use my parting shot, actually, to tell you that our friends over at the Barkan Family Healing Hearts Foundation, Michael Barkan and Mike Barnes, now we had Mike on our show previously, this weekend are holding the Day Philly Remembers. It is a family-friendly walk and 5K run at the Philadelphia Zoo, and it's in memory of the lives lost on 9/11 and to foster the most basic ideals of freedom and equality. Again, this Saturday at the Philadelphia Zoo. Registration, I should say, starts at 7 a.m. Saturday in the Balloon Plaza at the zoo, with the run to start at 8 a.m. You can get all the details about the Day Philly Remembers from the Barkan Family Healing Hearts Foundation on their website, which is thebarkanfoundation.org, a great organization and a great event.
Very good, very good. Hey, Chet, I'm going to go where no man should go on my parting shot tonight.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to take a swipe at a few Eagles fans. You think I'm safe to do that?
No, but go ahead. I want to see it.
All right. Well, you know, there's always this talk about Super Bowl rings and Cowboys rings and Steelers rings and all these people. Giants have rings, Redskins have rings. I have to say I have a problem with Eagles fans that want to show 1960 and 1947 and 48, 49 championship rings. Really? Really? Should... it would be better off to just say nothing and to show.
But it's
rings.
All we got.
Well, but you know, I mean, those were great championships, and if we were in 1965 or 70, we could probably brag about them. But they were 56, 55, whatever year it is, 55 years ago, my friend.
Yeah, I know it.
And so I just had to say to Eagles fans, don't embarrass yourself by putting 1960 rings pictures up, and just suck it up and don't get in conversations with others about rings. That's all I can
do. It's all going to change under Chip Kelly, though. You'll see.
Well, we will see. If we play a little defense, maybe we have a shot.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, Chet, we're at the top of the hour already, and it was a good one, too. A lot of good stuff tonight, and great to have football season. Oh, we have one thing we missed on. Let's talk Penn State Temple for about 30 seconds.
I was there, and boy, they looked good for the first 7 minutes, and then it was all downhill. That offensive line of the Nittany Lions, god-awful. Hackenberg never had a chance. It could be a long season for the Happy Valley faithful.
Well, I sure hope not, but real happy for Matt Rhule and the Temple Owls. What a big win for the program, and hopefully
yep.
Moving forward, and Notre Dame's coming to town here in about a month, and how great would it be to fill the link up again for that and for the Owls to knock them off.
Yep, good luck to Temple.
All right. Well, we're at the top of the hour. Let's get our thank yous in to Bleeding Green Nation's Brandon Galton, Carl's Cards and Collectibles for their continuing support of the show, Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kiss for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chetchesko, this is Bill Furman, hoping you enjoyed the show. And we'll join Philly Press Box Radio on Wednesday, September 16th, with special guest Eagles pre- and post-game host Kevin Riley joining us. You can listen to our Facebook page and like our Philly Press Box Radio page, or on the internet at www.blogtalkradio/Philly Pricks Press Box Radio, and now on both iTunes and Stitcher. High hopes, Philadelphia fans.